Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents My Best Friend, Prince Charming, by Cindy Ray Hale. Narrated by Matt Weisgerber and Tina Wollstonecroft. 1. Riker. I bowed to the cheering audience and followed my fellow cast members off the stage. Boom! My friend Liam whooped when we got backstage and out of earshot of the crowd. No more musical for the year. Ugh, I think I'm gonna sleep for a week. Come on, I said. We still have to greet the audience outside the auditorium. When we got to the hall outside the auditorium, I took my place next to Camille, who had been cast as Cinderella. Can you believe this is over? She asked. I shook my head. I wouldn't even know what to do with myself after all the hours spent memorizing lines and rehearsing. Ah, the prince! A man with graying hair and aviator sunglasses perched on his head approached me with a wide grin. Camille's face lit up. Uncle Stephen! She jumped between us before he could finish speaking to me and wrapped her arms around him in a gigantic hug.
How's my favorite niece? He asked her.
I'm so glad you came, she said to him.
You know I wouldn't miss your performance, especially since I'm in town anyway.
He reached out and shook my hand.
It's, Riker, right?
He asked, glancing at my name on the playbill.
That was an impressive performance.
Thank you, sir, I said.
I've been looking for someone like you for a while, actually.
Someone like me? I echoed. Well, that was cryptic.
Would you be interested in auditioning for me next week?
Auditioning? I asked.
I may have a job for you. It's, paid work. Do you have any film experience?
No, sir, I said, my heart drumming in my chest. Film? Who was this guy?
Have my niece give me your information. I have to get going. I'll reach out to you later this week with a time and place to meet up. It was nice meeting you.
And just like that, the guy disappeared into the crowd. I turned to Camille. What was that all about? Do you have any idea who my uncle is? No, he seemed pretty cool, though. You've never heard of a Stephen Christopher film? Nope. He's a big-time Hollywood director. He's worked on lots of blockbuster movies, some with Owen Hadley, the actor who opened the restaurant Hadley's in town. Oh, yeah, I love that place. Right? She grins. I can't say for sure, but I think he may have just picked you out for his upcoming Cinderella movie. He's been looking for a Prince Charming for months. The audition is basically a formality. I stared at Camille in shock. There was no way the audition was a formality. He couldn't tell how talented I was in front of a camera based on my stage performance. What's he doing in Maple Creek? He's my mom's brother, and he's driving through on his way to the beach. He wanted to see my performance in Cinderella since he's in this part of the country. He'll be back next week for my mom's birthday. If you accept this role, you would basically become rich and famous overnight. My head began to spin. I couldn't begin to imagine that I'd be able to land a role like that. Why would he want me? You're a lot better than you realize, and you fit the vision he's had for a while, I guess, Camille said with a shrug. Shannon came up to me with her long reddish-blonde hair tucked behind her ears. She had on a t-shirt with Aiko on it, a character from Katana Warrior, our favorite anime show. We were even writing a Katana Warrior fanfiction together. Hey, you, I said. You were awesome, Riker, she said. Like, seriously. My heart lifted. Shannon's opinion mattered most of all. I met her when her family moved in next door when we were in the third grade, and we'd been inseparable ever since. Where are we going to celebrate? She asked. I didn't know that was a thing. It is now. I just got paid tonight. Shannon worked after school and on weekends at Toppings, an ice cream shop in town. You know I'm not going to let you pay for your food, right? I said. Shannon rolled her eyes. Okay, fine. Burgers and shakes at Skippy's? Oh, sure. Just pick out a place where we eat free anyway, so I won't be able to pay for your meal, I said. My aunt owned Skippy's, the local diner, so we never had to pay for anything when we ate there. My grandpa started the place when my dad and aunt were kids, and now she owned it. When my dad lost his job at the lumber mill, he was desperate, and my aunt hired him to take over the newly opened manager position at Skippy's. It didn't pay as well as the lumber mill, and Dad had to work much longer hours, but since I waited tables at Skippy's, I got to see him more than I would have otherwise. I hated letting Shannon pay for anything. She probably would have fought me on it, but she worked herself to the bone trying to help her mom make ends meet. I didn't like to see Shannon suffering financially. But that had been the harsh reality of both our lives for as long as either of us could remember. We lived on the wrong side of the tracks, according to Mom, who ran off when I was 10. To me, it meant that my future was severely limited. I had to miss out on a lot of opportunities that other kids had, like after-school programs and sports that cost extra money. There was never money for stuff like that. We were lucky to get a new pair of shoes for the school year. Before Mom left, she spent a lot of time sitting on the couch watching reruns. She got really bad postpartum depression when my younger sister was born, and she never seemed to get over it. One day, 8 years ago, she just snapped and left in the middle of the night. We never saw her again. That pretty much left me to raise my little brother and sister. It wasn't too bad. I loved those kids, but it didn't leave me much time for working a paying job. We didn't see my dad much. He spent a lot of time working, and when he did come home, he spent a lot of time on his phone trying to unwind. It was like he checked out. I gathered my stuff backstage and then met Shannon out front. "Want to take my car?" I asked. My Aunt Kristen had given me her old car when I turned 16. The 1998 Nissan Sentra wasn't pretty to look at, but it ran and it didn't guzzle too much gas. "Sure," Shannon said. She shouldered her bag and followed me across the parking lot. We could have invited other friends, like Camille and a few of the other cast members, but Shannon and I usually liked to hang out alone. We were the nerdy, katana warrior-obsessed members of the senior class at Maple Creek High. Shannon and I had been writing our fan fiction together since freshman year, and we were still going strong. When we hung out, we usually discussed complicated plot points that none of our other friends would understand. That meant that I got Shannon all to myself most days, and I wouldn't have it any other way. Shannon didn't know how deep my feelings actually went. The truth was, I'd been in love with her for a long time. I wasn't sure when it started exactly. It kinda snuck up on me. I'd always thought she was pretty, even in third grade when girls were supposed to be gross. But Shannon had this gorgeous reddish-brown hair that fell around her shoulders in waves that were so soft they always begged to be touched. And her eyes, they were a piercing blue, the color of the ocean in the tropics. The problem was, Shannon didn't feel the same about me. She'd been dating Austin on and off again for the past 2 years, and I wasn't a fan of the guy. Shannon and I discussed some of the research we'd recently done for our fanfic while we drove the short trip to Skippy's. I pulled into the parking lot behind the diner, and we laughed about the irony of our latest chapter. In that moment, everything was perfect. It was almost like I'd forgotten that Shannon had a jerk-faced boyfriend and that I'd just been offered an audition for a big Hollywood movie. "Hey, you two," Aunt Kristen beamed at us as we walked into the diner. "Booth 7's open," she said, pointing to the corner booth, our favorite spot. "Burgers and shakes?" she asked once we were settled in the booth. "And some onion rings," I said. She shouted our order to Joey back in the kitchen and turned back to us. "How was the musical?" "You'll never believe what happened," I said. I told them about the big-time film director who wanted me to audition for him. "That's huge, Riker! If you get this role, it could completely change your life," Aunt Kristen said. Shannon sat quietly, twisting her ring around her finger. It had been her grandmother's, and Shannon always twisted it around when something was bothering her. I shrugged. "I'm not sure I'm going." "What?" Aunt Kristen said. "Why would you pass up an opportunity like that?" She knew how much I loved acting, so I understood her surprise at me not wanting to audition. It wasn't that I didn't want the part. I'd always dreamed of making it big one day. But that was just a far-off fantasy, like something one of my fanfiction characters would dream about doing. But that wasn't reality. Shannon and I used to have big dreams. I was going to be an actor, and she was going to be an author. But we weren't kids anymore. We were both staring down adulthood. We'd each seen how hard life could be without a stable career. That was why college was so important. It was reliable and practical. "We already have our future all planned out," I told her. "Riker," Aunt Kristen shook her head. "Sometimes life takes an unexpected turn with better results at the destination. You can't give up on something amazing just because you're too attached to the outcome you had in mind." I brushed off her advice. "Shannon just heard back from Virginia Tech. They're offering her a full-ride scholarship." They just offered me a full ride as well, and it meant that we'd both be able to go to school together. It was huge news. She had been really excited for us to go to school together. I didn't want to mess that up. Her top school was UCLA, but since VT offered her the scholarship, that was where she decided to attend. It was her second choice, but it wasn't like she had a rich daddy to pay the out-of-state tuition. Her dad couldn't even pay child support. Couldn't, or wouldn't. "Maybe it doesn't matter. I probably won't get the role anyway. Just because the director liked my stage performance doesn't mean he'll like me in front of a camera. It's a totally different acting style. No one sees my face up close while I'm on stage." "You should at least go for the experience of auditioning in front of someone that famous," Aunt Kristen said. "And I've seen you on camera. Remember all those silly videos you used to make back in middle school? You were actually really good." I shrugged. "I guess." "This is your chance to see what's beyond Maple Creek." Everything I wanted in life was right here in this small town, and she was sitting right across from me. If I couldn't be with her romantically, at least I could be in her life every day as her best friend. I would take whatever I could get. Our food came and we sat eating, discussing more of our fan fiction. I loved watching Shannon's face as she talked about her story ideas. She was so passionate about her writing. She came alive whenever she talked about it. I wanted to see her this happy every day. If I could bring her this kind of joy, then I knew I was living my life the right way.
2. Shannon. "We're having mac and cheese again tonight," I told my 16-year-old sister Maddie. "Oh, joy," she said, rolling her eyes. "Hey, if you don't like it, you can make dinner," I said, pointing at her with a wooden spoon. Maddie had her nose buried in a library book, one of those werewolf love stories. It was her fourth one this week. I had no idea how she had time for all that reading and her homework, too. I'd spent every moment since coming home from school working on my assignments. I'd only taken a break to make some dinner. As soon as I finished eating, I'd be right back in my room knocking out the rest of my assignments. Mom worked evenings this week, so it fell to me to make dinner. Maddie was perfectly capable of doing it, but if I left it to her, I'd end up with a peanut butter and jelly sandwich because she wouldn't remember to cook anything until 9 p.m. So I usually did the cooking when Mom was working. We rarely saw our dad anymore. He cheated on Mom when I was in third grade. That was when we moved into this house. We'd struggled to make ends meet. It was tough, but with my money from toppings, we were able to make it. I met Riker when we moved into the 1950s home we lived in now. He'd been playing outside, building a fort in his backyard, next to the mature oak tree that shaded his backyard. I asked him if I could help, and the rest was history. We ended up turning the fort into our clubhouse. We had official meetings and everything. Then his mom left when we were 10, and we grew even closer. I understood what it was like to have divorced parents. I used to joke that our parents should get together, but Riker didn't seem to like that, so I dropped it. After dinner, I went to my room. I tackled the rest of my homework and then checked on the fanfiction. After writing for about 10 minutes, I had a brilliant idea pop into my head for what I could do for Riker's birthday. It was coming up in just a few days. I pulled out my sketch pad and began the outline of the original character Riker had created for the fanfiction. For the next hour, I focused on the drawing, putting meticulous detail and emotion into the character's face. A knock sounded on my bedroom door. Before I could answer, it opened a crack, and Austin looked in. "What's the point of knocking if you're just going to barge in anyway?" I asked, tucking the drawing under a stack of papers on my desk.
"Hey, you," he said, smiling, because he knew he could get away with anything when it came to me.
I was putty in his hands.
"I could have been naked," I said.
"And your point is?"
he said, coming up to me and burying his face into my hair. I twisted around in my desk chair and smacked him.
"That's not funny,"
I frowned. Austin knew I wasn't interested in taking our relationship that far.
"You're not even supposed to be over here when my mom's not home."
He kissed my ear, wrapping his arms around my shoulders.
"I thought she was supposed to be home soon."
I wriggled out of his embrace and pushed up from my desk. He slid into my swivel chair.
"What are you writing?"
He studied the screen.
"Is this that Katana Warrior fanfiction you're writing with Riker? I thought you guys had moved on to your own ideas instead of stealing someone else's story world."
Austin's words stabbed into my heart like a dagger. I snapped my laptop shut.
"It's private."
I never let Austin read my stuff. Not since he made fun of it when I shared it with him once. He said he was just kidding around and that I couldn't take a joke. But mocking my writing was taking it too far. I'd wanted to be a published author for as long as I could remember, but Austin never seemed to see it as an achievable goal. His words had hurt because I was too scared to branch out on my own with an original story, and he seemed to think writing was just some dumb waste of my time.
"What do you want, Austin?"
I really just wanted to get back to my story. Riker and I were at the good part. He stood up and turned around to face me. He took a hand and tucked my hair over my shoulder and caressed my cheek.
"You're my girlfriend. I came to see you. Is that too much to ask?"
I blew out a puff of air. My mom would probably scold me if she saw the way I was treating Austin.
"I'm sorry. I know I'm being rude. I was just caught up in my story."
Austin wrapped his arms around my waist and pulled me close to him. He kissed me, but all I could think about was the big plot twist I'd been planning with Riker over burgers and shakes last night. My door exploded open.
"I know how to fix the plot hole! We just need to have our characters kiss before they talk it out!"
I turned away from Austin to see Riker standing in my doorway. I grinned.
"That's genius! Why didn't I think of that?"
Surprise crossed Riker's features when he saw Austin standing close to me with his arm still around my waist.
"Am I interrupting something?"
"Not at all." I stepped away from Austin. "Have you heard anything else about your audition?" Riker was pretty much perfect for the part. I'd never really stopped to think about it, but with his longish brown hair and bright blue eyes, he really did look like he could be Prince Charming. He was a highly attractive guy, beneath all the nerdiness. I always thought of him as just a friend, but I wasn't blind. I knew a hot guy when I saw one. It wasn't surprising that Riker was handpicked by a Hollywood director. He had a pretty killer British accent, too. We used to make silly videos when we were younger, and he went crazy with different accents. I always thought we were just kids messing around, but now I realized that it could end up paying off big for Riker. The problem was, I didn't know what I'd do without him. I really had to figure out how to be a better, more supportive friend, but I was seriously struggling with my feelings. I felt like I had a big battle inside me. One side fought to support Riker, and the other side fought to be more selfish and keep him all to myself. I wasn't exactly thrilled about the idea of going to college without him after we were so excited about going together. Austin scowled.
"You get after me for barging in, but when Riker does the same thing, you don't care?"
"Riker's different," I said. Riker acted like he hadn't heard Austin complaining.
I got an email with some instructions and a date and time.
Are you going? I asked. Austin folded his arms and shifted his weight to his other foot, like he was already bored with the conversation. He probably wanted Riker to leave so he could get back to making out.
Yep, it's next Saturday. I've already picked out some lines to audition with.
Let me know if you need help running through your lines. I'd helped Riker run lines for his musical. We'd had a lot of late nights with popcorn and Twizzlers and a lot of ridiculous nonsense. My mom was pretty strict with my curfew with Austin, but she didn't mind letting Riker stay over a little later. Our families were so close, he was practically a son to her. Maddie pushed open my bedroom door and climbed onto my bed, helping herself to the package of gummy bears on my nightstand.
How is it that you're the nerdiest girl at school and you have two guys in your bedroom? And here I am over here, completely single, and not half as nerdy as you.
My cheeks heated up. Maddie loved embarrassing me as much as possible.
Can I help you with something, Maddie?
I'm bored. I came in here to be entertained.
Don't you have another werewolf book to read?
I just finished the series. I have to let the story marinate for a while before I can start a new book.
Well, you might want to go watch Netflix or something. We aren't all that interesting.
Maddie popped another gummy bear in her mouth and looked between the two guys standing awkwardly in my bedroom.
Looks pretty interesting to me.
I wasn't in the mood to be the butt of her joke. Plus, it wasn't like there was anything going on between Riker and me.
The idea was laughable. Everyone knew we were just friends. I'd been dating Austin forever anyway.
Maddie just loved a good love triangle and had an overactive imagination. There wasn't a love triangle here, only the one she'd conjured up. It was definitely fictional.
So,
Maddie said with a naughty little sister smile,
do you want to turn this love triangle into a square?
She patted the spot on the bed next to her.
Riker, come sit next to me. I'm not in a complicated relationship.
Riker tugged on the collar of his shirt like it was choking him.
I was just leaving, actually.
Oh, come on. I don't bite. Well, not very hard, anyway.
Your sister's crazy, Shannon, he said, glancing over his shoulder at me as he made a beeline for the door.
I am well aware of that,
I called out to him as he went down the hall.
I have to live with her every day.
I walked down the hall at school with Austin, our fingers entwined. He waved to a bunch of the baseball team and fist-bumped the pitcher. Austin and I were that couple that no one seemed to understand. We were nothing alike, but opposites attracted, right? I was the shy, nerdy girl of the school, and Austin had to talk to every person he passed in the hallway. I just wanted to read manga, draw, and write my fan fiction. Austin cared about sports and friends more than grades. I was uncoordinated and obsessed with getting straight A's. I had to. If I hadn't worked my tail off, I wouldn't have gotten the scholarship to VT. Carter Logan and Ella Davies, my co-worker from Toppings, stood together at her locker, and she popped a grape in his mouth. They were so adorable. Austin and I weren't like that. We weren't really the romantic type, but we'd been a staple of Maple Creek High, that iconic couple of nerd and popular guy. I didn't even know how or why we'd gotten together. It had just kind of happened. We were assigned as partners in biology freshman year when we were dissecting frogs. He took his tweezers and poked at the frog. He asked me what he was poking at, and I told him it was the frog's heart. He said he wondered if the frog had ever had his heart broken. I thought he was a weirdo in an adorable sort of way. At the end of the class period, he asked me out. Now we were close to graduation, and we'd lasted all 4 years. Sure, we'd had our ups and downs like any couple, but we'd stood the test of time. Unlike my parents. Sometimes I wish they'd tried harder to work through their problems. Yeah, my dad cheated, but I wished my mom had found it in her heart to forgive him. But she just gave up. I refused to let that happen to Austin and me, no matter how hard it got. That was why I was still with him now. Austin had plans to go to VT with Riker and me. I hoped to get into advertising and graphic design. I had an aunt who made good money and worked for several big-name brands. She'd ended up traveling the world because of her career and could work from home if she felt like it. It was a win-win situation. I'd get to pursue art and make money while getting to see something other than Maple Creek. It wasn't that I had anything against our little town. It was a darling place to live. But it was all I'd been able to see. My parents never took me on vacation, and my dad hadn't once asked me to come see him at his home in California with his new wife. He'd pretty much moved on from us, like we'd never existed. Although I'd faithfully stayed by Austin's side for the past 4 years, with a few hiccups here and there, we didn't really hang out much outside of school. He tried to, but I usually ended up daydreaming about all the nerdy stuff I wanted to discuss with Riker. All Austin wanted to do was kiss. I honestly didn't see the appeal. Kissing was okay, but I got bored with it. I could sit and talk to Riker for hours on end, though, and we did regularly. There was always so much to talk about, and Riker was really good about responding to my texts. He always answered right away and usually said something to make me laugh. Sometimes Austin took an entire day to respond. It drove me nuts. How could anyone hold a conversation like that? My relationship with Austin wasn't perfect, but whose relationship was, anyway? Every couple had their struggles. We just had to work through them.
3. Riker. I walked into the auditorium at Maple Creek High that Saturday afternoon. I smoothed down my white button-down shirt. I'd never been so nervous for an audition. I kept telling myself that it didn't matter if I got the part because I wasn't sure I was going to accept it anyway, but I still wanted to make a good impression. This was Stephen Christopher, after all. His name hadn't meant anything to me when I first heard it from Camille after the musical, but I went and did some digging around on the internet when I picked my audition piece. To say he was intimidating was a massive understatement. This guy was uber famous. I'd seen almost every single one of his movies and loved them. I just hadn't paid attention to who the director was. He sat behind a folding table set up on the first row of the auditorium seating. A camera was set up on a tripod and pointed at the stage. I had a feeling I was the only one auditioning for him in Maple Creek, which meant he went through the trouble of setting this all up just for me. Maybe it really was just a formality. For some reason, that didn't make me feel any better. I was still terrified. Stephen Christopher turned around and smiled at me when I came close enough for him to hear me coming into the room.
Riker! Glad to see you made it!
Do you want me up on the stage? I asked.
No, why don't you just stand right here in front of the stage for me?
He pointed to a spot a few feet in front of him.
Do you have a headshot and a resume for me?
He asked. No, sir, I said. I didn't realize I was supposed to have one. I felt my cheeks growing hot. Was that going to ruin my chance of landing the role? I should have researched this stuff better. I didn't even know a photographer who did headshots.
Don't worry about it. I should have put it in the email for you. We're just glad you were able to make it today.
I set my backpack down and on one of the seats in the row behind him. Mr. Christopher made it sound like I was doing him a favor by just showing up. I headed to the spot in front of the camera and launched into the audition. When I'd gone through my lines, he scribbled on his notepad. Then he looked up and smiled at me.
Very good. Well, looks like we're done here, Riker. I'll have someone reach out to you within the next few days.
Well, thank you for the opportunity, Mr. Christopher.
It's been my honor, Riker.
I left the school and drove home. I parked on the street and walked into the house. My little brother...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?